Tonight we're going to talk about a man who started out bad, and yet he finished well. I wonder, as we get started tonight, how many of us have a child that we're greatly concerned about? We kind of wonder if maybe they're starting out bad. Maybe, just maybe we question whether they're saved or not. We're not quite sure. We hope that they are. But there just doesn't appear to be the fruit of salvation. It doesn't appear to be that there has been a transformation that's taken place in their life. There just doesn't seem to be any outward evidence that this child that we love is truly saved. So we wonder in our own minds. Well, I'm hoping that this message tonight will encourage you if you are a parent or a grandparent who is wondering about a child or a grandchild, if they're starting out well, will they end well? If they're starting out bad, will they end well? Well, let's find out. Be finding in God's precious word, the book of Acts, the 12th chapter, the 25th verse, because it is here we begin to find the beginning, I guess, if you will, of a particular man who started out bad, but he finished well. Please rise if you're able as we honor the Lord tonight with the reading of His Word. We're going to read Acts chapter 12. I'm going to begin in verse 25, and if you're there, say amen. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Silas and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we just thank you for your word unto us tonight. Lord, without a doubt, in this world today, every parent and grandparent needs hope. Lord, tonight we pray that we would take great hope, great encouragement from your word. Lord, may it speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people should, amen. Now, if we were to throw out the name John Mark, what are some of the things about him that you could begin to recall? When I think about this particular man, we can say, well, he wrote the book of Mark. Or we could say He was with Peter. We could say he hung around the disciples some. But what I remember about this man, there's one thing that comes ringing through loud and clear. Can I ask you a question tonight? Have you ever known someone, be it family, be it friend or foe, and you gave up on them? You said, I'm done with them. They're never going to change. Always going to be that way. When I think about Mark, when I think about what we've read here, what we'll read as we see as we go through this message, there's one thing that keeps coming back to my mind. We're never to give up on someone. How many of you would agree with me? It's very easy to give up, isn't it? The world is full of quitters. People quit on people all the time. People quit on God too. But we're never to give up on people. We're to pray for that individual. We're to plead their cause before God. We're told we're not to hold past mistakes against what could be future blessings. Simply because when we hold on to an individual's past mistakes, what we're really buying and what we're really holding on to is bitterness. We're mad. We're upset. How could they do such a thing? Man, they're dumber than a box of rocks. I'm done with them. But God's Word has a lot to say about that thing called bitterness, doesn't it? God's Word tells us we're not to allow a root of bitterness to grow in us. Beyond that, do you realize if we choose to hold on to bitterness, we become a stumbling block to someone who starts out bad? And we could prevent them by our own bitterness from ending well. How many of you have ever heard someone say something like this? Well, I go to that church, but that church has such and such a person there, and I ain't going there. Bitterness will do that to you. Bitterness can or it could prevent the greater good from happening. Those are just a few of the things that I can glean from the life of John Mark. There are four main lessons in God's Word for us from the life of John Mark that will give us great encouragement in these days in which we live, especially if you are a parent or a grandparent who is greatly concerned about the salvation of your child or grandchild and you're just not sure. They've started out bad. And you're wondering, will they finish well? And the first thing we find, if you look back with me in Acts chapter 12, in verse 12, we read this. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. This verse tells us a very important fact about the life of John Mark. That fact is that Mark was raised in a God-fearing home. There was a prayer meeting going on. Peter was in prison. The saints were praying. And Peter was released by a miracle. Why did this Jewish boy have the Roman surname Mark? Because God, in his sovereignty, knew that this would be a most meaningful name that was going to prove very useful. God knew. Say that with me. God knew. Let me ask you, does God know better than us the end of an individual? You better believe it. God knew. God could see beyond today. And God knew that there would come a time when this man's ministry would be mainly to the Gentiles. In fact, his gospel that we're studying on Wednesday nights was written to the Romans, the world power of that day. And when you read the Gospel of Mark, it's a skillful treatise in manifesting God's power through Christ's service to the Romans. His gospel is the shortest of the four. And his writing exhibits a soldier's rapidity of movement because Mark was accustomed to the Roman legions. Thus, he quickly acts in his short gospel to repel the attacks with a progressive series of victorious conflicts in Jesus Christ. John was his Hebrew name, and tradition has it that he became a bishop and was eventually martyred in Venice. But here in Acts 12:12, we find his name in connection with a great prayer meeting going on in his mother's home. His mother was a godly, well-to-do widow who was living in Jerusalem, whose home was a favorite meeting place of the saints. Colossians 4:10 will tell you that. And of course, Acts 12 is the biblical record of the saints praying for the release of Peter from prison. Peter was in prison because Herod was planning to relieve Peter of his head. Holy Scripture shares with us that James had already been martyred by this time, and Peter was to be next on the chopping block, if you will. But a remarkable thing happened. A miracle took place because the saints of God were home and they were praying. And their praying is a reminder to all of us to never underestimate the power of intercessory prayer. When you pray for someone, you have no idea what God is going to do with your prayer. That's why we need to be encouraged to pray. The saints prayed. God performed a miracle. And Peter walked out of the jailhouse. And he's at the door knocking. It's an incredible story, isn't it? And it's a truth. But let me ask you tonight, have you ever stopped to think what the name of Mark's mother's brother was? It was Barnabas. And he himself was a wealthy Levite who came from the island of Cyprus. Now the point is that Mark was raised in a godly home. Can I ask you, what are the benefits of being raised in a godly home? I can think of a couple quick ones. You've heard the Word of God. You've witnessed your parents praying. More than likely, you had a drug habit. Every time the doors of the church were open, you was drugged there whether you wanted to go or not. Say hallelujah for great parenting. But if a child from a godly home starts out bad, what promise of God can parents cling to? Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Where there's life, there's hope. Your child may be right now, or grandchild right now, may be on the wrong road. But God can overrule. God is in control. God has given parents and grandparents who love their children beyond words a wonderful promise here. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But there's one thing else here. Because Mark had been raised in a godly home, there was a greater opportunity for him to end well than someone who had not been raised in a godly home. But there's a second thing that we can learn from the life of Mark, and that is much depends on the choice of friends. Again, look with me at Acts 12 and 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. It's important for us to note that at this point in time, Mark's closest friends were his uncle Barnabas and Paul the Apostle. Can I ask you, what are the advantages of having Christian friends? History records that there were three particular men who had a formative influence in Mark's life. One of those was his uncle Barnabas. The other was Paul. The third was Peter. You talk about a holy trio of godly friends, men who are on fire for the Lord. Peter was the one whom God had chosen to share the gospel with him. And because Peter had been faithful to do so, the Holy Spirit was allowed to do his work. Mark became convicted of his sin, and Mark repented and received Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. Peter refers to Mark in 1 Peter 5 and 13 as his son, my son. Peter had a vested interest. That's what those words convey to us in this young man. Kind of reminds me of what the Bible tells the church to do. Older men, take under your wing the younger men. Older women, take under your wing the younger women and help them in their walk with the Lord. But history, as we mentioned in the beginning, also records that Mark hung around the other disciples. And he also hung around Jesus. Scripture identifies him as a certain young man who followed Jesus when all the other disciples forsook him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Does having godly companions guarantee one will turn out well? No. But it sure does make the possibility a whole lot more likely, doesn't it? There's a third lesson that Mark's life teaches us. That's the possibilities of life. We read pretty much that in chapter 13 in the verses we read, especially verses 1 to 5 and verse 13. The possibilities of life are the opportunities that God places in our path. And some we capitalize on, and others we don't. And we find that when Paul and Barnabas started on their first missionary journey, they took with them John Mark. He was with them. The Bible says in Acts 12:25 that Mark was to be their minister. In other words, he was to tend to the need so they could preach the word. But when we come to the 13th verse in Acts chapter 13, we discover something about John Mark in this opportunity. He wasn't ready for it. He wasn't ready. You know why he wasn't ready? Because he was guilty of vacillating back and forth. Man, I love being with these guys when everything's going great. But now this evil man has stood up against him, and I'm not so sure I want that in my life. And he became fearful. His heart and his mind and his will were not yet prepared to stand up and stand on the word when someone is standing against you. We could say that a lot today, couldn't we? He wasn't prepared. In other words, he looked back Jesus had a lot to say about someone who looks back in Luke 9 and 62. This is what Jesus said. No man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. John Mark committed this sin. He looked back. He went back. He did more than just look. He said, boys, I'm out of here. Y'all can have it. But I'm gone. And so we have a man before us who started out with such promise. And yet, the Bible records for us that he began his venture into ministry in a bad way. His personal failure affected others just as our failures do. In fact, you can mark it down. Personal failure affects others. John Mark's decision to look back came at a time of crisis on the front lines of this missionary journey. And what caused it was the fear of what lay ahead. The fear of the unknown. When someone else would oppose what you were preaching instead of receiving it. And it was this cowardice that caused a deep resentment and bitterness in the heart of Paul. A bitterness that would lead to a separation of relationship between Paul and Mark's uncle Barnabas as they prepared for a second missionary journey. By the time of the planned second missionary journey, John Mark had repented of his failure, and he had grown some in his faith. He realized his error. He longed for another opportunity. But remember, he had started out bad. And Paul had a problem with it. Perhaps by this time, most certainly by this time, he has realized, he's recognized, God's got a call on my life. God is calling me to the front lines of ministry. I'm going to go. I'm going to trust God. Wherever he leads, I'll go. He was now ready. He was now willing to obey God and to follow God's leading in his life, but there's a problem. Paul's bitterness caused Paul to say, he's not going. He's not getting a second chance. Can't trust him. Matter of fact, can't stand to look at him, the little quitter. Paul had an issue. Paul wasn't sure. Because Paul was looking at Paul. And he wasn't listening to the Lord. And friends, Paul's bitterness almost prevented John Mark from finishing well. This bitterness of Paul's caused a deep, deep, sharp disagreement between Paul and Mark's uncle Barnabas. A disagreement that was so sharp that these two close friends severed their relationship according to Acts 15 and 39. And Holy Scripture tells us that Barnabas took John Mark and he sailed off for Cyprus. Paul went off with Silas on another missionary journey. Now I know there are some people who believe, and some theologians will even claim that, well, you know, this allowed for two missionary journeys. One for Paul and Silas, one for Barnabas and John Mark. But I disagree. Because Scripture no longer follows Barnabas. We don't read of any of the missionary journeys that he took with John Mark. Certainly, if they had gone off on a missionary journey, God's word would have recorded it, since the early church was being established at this time. But God's word is silent about a missionary journey for Barnabas and John Mark. What Scripture does record is that Barnabas took John Mark and sailed for Cyprus because that was his home. And tradition holds that Barnabas ministered to his own people there. More importantly, Barnabas sails off the pages of Holy Scripture here. And the Holy Scripture is silent from this point forward as to his ministry. But I believe we need to learn how failure on the part of one caused and had an effect on the relationship of others. Now let's ask some questions here. Was Paul too harsh toward John Mark? Perhaps. But you know, they say time has a way of healing old wounds, don't they? The Bible records that God can even restore the years that the locusts have eaten. That's the wasted years. The wasted years we humans spend in disagreement over something. God can restore those years. And I'm so thankful for it. How do we know? Because Scripture records for us that John Mark became a valued companion and colleague of Paul's. In Philemon 24, Paul speaks of John Mark as a fellow laborer. Furthermore, there's an impressive tribute in testimony to John Mark's reinstatement by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:11. We read Paul by this time is in prison and he knows that his race in this life is almost over. And he writes in 2 Timothy 4:11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." It's those words right there. He is profitable to me for the ministry. Those words let us know that the wound John Mark had inflicted upon Paul in earlier years, a wound that had resulted in bitterness toward him, was finally healed between them. And because it was, it just goes to show us life is full of possibilities. God can heal old wounds, amen? God can heal broken relationships. God can heal. Harsh words, deep resentments, utter bitterness. And because God can heal, we need to live our lives in such a way to maximize the opportunities that God gives us. There's a fourth lesson that we can learn from the life of John Mark. That's the reward of faithful service. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, we read, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come to you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." Aristarchus, Justus, and Marcus, Barnabas' nephew. You know, in Holy Scripture, we never read of a sermon preached by John Mark. We never read of a single miracle that he performed. All that is ever said about John Mark in the Scripture is that he was a helper of others. And friends, that's what a minister is. Amen. This is how God chose to remember him. And what we need to learn from this is such service never fails to receive its reward. John Mark was a man who received the blessing of a godly home. A man who grew to understand the value of Christian friends. A man who saw the possibilities of life and he learned to maximize them instead of fail. And a man whom God rewarded in his word as a helper of others. Let's remember as we close tonight by remembering it's not how we start, it's how we finish. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. It's hard to finish well, but it can be done with God's help. Let us who've heard this word purpose in our own hearts that by God's grace, we will finish well. Because the legacy that we will leave behind, what people will remember about me, what people will remember about you, is not how you started. They will remember how you finished. Let us finish well. Let us trust God to restore unto us the years the locusts have eaten. Because all of us, no doubt, have some relationships, just like Paul, that got out of hand. For one reason or another. Perhaps we got some old bitterness in our heart. But there is a God who can heal. We just got to open up our heart and let God do the healing. We got to be willing to trust God. Life's not over yet, friend, is it? Let us maximize the opportunities he gives us. Let us run the race with endurance. Let us stand on his promises. And by all means, let us finish well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we just thank you for your word unto us. We thank you for the encouragement that as we search the scriptures, Lord, we can find evidences of relationships that mirror our own. And Lord, as we look at relationships that mirror our own, we can find great comfort and great hope in knowing there is a God in heaven who knows how each of us is going to finish. And Lord, may we finish well. May you restore tonight, Father, in the relationships of any here or any who are listening on the live stream. If there are some relationships that are not well, Lord, may you help them finish well. Lord God, we thank you for your grace unto us. We thank you for the power of your word. Let your will be done. In Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Let us stand and let us sing. Brother Marty, what are we singing tonight? 287. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, you just slip up your hand tonight and say, Pastor, pray for me. And I've been more than happy to be lifting your name before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The altar's open. Perhaps you just want to come and call on God to heal something in your life. I don't know. But let's let God have His perfect way in us tonight. Amen. Brother Marty, let's sing.